Hello, hi James.
Hi, how are you doing, Mac?
I'm very good, I'm very good. Hi everybody, it's Mark Sams here. Today we've got another exciting interview with a gentleman named James Scull. He's from Leeds, UK, and he's going to be talking about his journey through building a business online and what he was doing before that, and really giving you some insight and some tips into what it takes to be successful and build a business online in today's world. So, James, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Weather's a bit cloudy today, but apart from that, great.
That's Britain for you, isn't it? That's how we do it out
Always
here. Yeah,
care.
it's not too bad though. It's not too bad. Well, James, let's just so that we can sort of get into this and get into the meat, so that people can really get some value out of this. The first thing I want to sort of go into was, obviously, you're an online marketer now. And I believe you're a full-time online marketer, is that correct?
Yeah, full time.
Okay, great. Now, before you started building a business online, could you give me a bit of an insight into what you was doing beforehand, and then what sort of led you into pursuing a career online?
Yeah, sure, Mark. Well, what happened? I came into this about 2006, and I wanted to pursue it. But before that, I had like quite a few jobs. And to be honest, I dropped out of a load of college courses. I had a load of dead-end jobs. I had my nostrils above sea level, and that's about it.
Okay.
And basically, I was floating from like building jobs to stacking shelves, and I used to think there must be a better way of living life than this. So, basically, what I did, I just went onto Google one day and I typed in the words "how to make money online," and that's how my journey started from there. Really, it wasn't easy. Because there's a lot to learn and there's a lot of minefields and things like that,
I
but
can imagine, because if you typed in how to make money online, you must have come across a ton of information, and it must have been very confusing.
well, it was pretty overwhelming at first. You've got to try and find the good eggs compared to the bad eggs, and unfortunately, there's more bad eggs than there is good eggs out there, you see.
So how did you go about deciphering between good information that was going to actually add value and help you build your business, and information where it seemed like it was going to add value, but really it was a pipe dream. There was nothing really in it. How did you sharpen your edge to understand what's good and what's not?
Well, I went into this with the view that I'm not going to be making money online. I went into this thinking I'm going to be setting up an online business, and I was not. And I realized that there was a lot of stuff out there that promised you instant riches, and I knew from the get-go that that is impossible. So I always look for courses or people to teach me with realistic, I'm trying to think of the word, perspective, or like a realistic, goal kind of thing. These courses where they promise you $16 million in 10 seconds with no effort whatsoever. You've got to really wake up and know that that is not real. And I'm not very talented in a lot of things, but I did enter this game with a realistic view of how this kind of operates. I knew it wasn't going to be an overnight thing.
So the question I want to ask you then is obviously you came into it and you straight away knew that you wasn't going to listen to things that sounded too good to be true and things like that, and you tried to look for solid guidelines and structured information that was real business talk, real business, gives you real implementation type of actions to take and stuff like that. So what is it about your background that, because obviously there's a big market out there that buy into all of this 3 second click riches and so on and so forth. So what is it about your mindset and what sort of information do you feel that people, or how do you think people need to be looking at things so that they don't get duped? Is it something in your background where you've had to be quick on your toes, be street smart? What was it about you that made you feel that you was able to decipher things quite quickly and work out what's the real from the fake?
What it boils down to was I didn't want to be embarrassed or humiliated by my friends and family. I didn't want to. I thought if I'm going to do this, I have to put my all into it, because I remember that I told my dad, and I said, "Dad, what I'm thinking of doing now," because I used to do all this crazy stuff to make money. I've done a gazillion things. You know?
Okay.
From a very young age, I used to sell like video games at primary school. I used to draw my own pictures and sell them at high school, print them, sell them at 10p. I want a millionaire, but I've probably got that businessman inside of me originally, which kind of, you know, which helped later on down the road in internet marketing.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I didn't want to be. I didn't want to tell my friends that I'm thinking of making money online, because a lot of people perceive, everybody outside the internet marketing community think it's a pipe dream and think it's impossible. So I kind of like didn't want to chase this and think and look like an idiot to my friends and family.
Okay, now I understand. So what's the first thing that you started doing that when you thought, okay, this makes sense, I'm starting to get some success here, get some results? What was that?
Well, first of all, I wanted to find somebody who was reputable and somebody who wanted to, reputable. Mm. And for anybody, I would recommend is to find somebody and do tons and tons and tons of research. That's about it, really. And that's what I did. And I found somebody who kind of like came through 99% of the time, and there wasn't a lot of bad things. Now, don't get me wrong, every marketer out there, if they've been out there for long enough, there's going to be somebody out there bad-mouthing them, okay?
Okay.
So nobody's 100% squeaky clean, but if 99% or 90% of the things you read is generally good, then that's a good starting point.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is find some, like a mentor, basically, who had a good reputation that you could learn from. Okay, once you found that person, what's the next step?
Next step is basically just pick one of their courses, or if they've got like a course, or like a super course, or a lot of these mentors tend to have plenty of courses, but you've got to find a course that suits you.
Uh-huh.
And there's plenty of things to do online to make money, as you will know. There's affiliate marketing, there's list building, there's product creation, you can go into SEO stuff, you know, there's literally a gazillion ways to make money. You've got to find what is your way of making money. For me personally, I the way I was mentored, it was to create a product in small little markets and then build lists and things like that. And I got into it and I found my thing. I tried the SEO, which I'm okay with SEO, but I'm better with email list building things.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So that leads nicely on to the next question. So in relation to you getting your first few people on your list, like say your first 1,000 people on your list, what were some of the first things you actually did?
Well, I mean, when you say the first 1,000 people I did on my list, because I wasn't in the internet, I wasn't selling internet marketing material at the time. I was in other markets at the time. I started off.
What sort of markets?
Well, this is what I advise anybody to do, is I entered a market which was a lot smaller than the internet marketing market, and it was basically, it was a micro niche within the PC niche, and it was basically a method, what a lot of video gamers do, called overclocking, and it's where they speed up their hardware, and I was a fountain of knowledge. I was a geek, into that kind of thing. So what I did, I created a product. I wrote like a report or like a 50-page book on it or PDF, and then basically I went online and sold it. And it was only a year after selling it that I started realizing I better start building a list. Go on.
Can I take you back a second there? Because obviously you say you went online and you sold it. Now that just sounds like, great, I went online and I sold it. This was back in 2006, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When you say you went online and you sold it, what was your thought process going into selling that online? Like, what did you actually do, if you don't mind?
No, not at all, Mark. The thing is, though, it's totally changed when it was 2006. I know it's only like a few years ago, but what I did, I followed the instructions that I got in the course and created the product.
So, Just to make sure everybody understands this. This was when James did this in 2006. And what he's saying is that the marketplace has changed, and what he did then is not necessarily going to be as effective right now. So we're going we're talking about his history here. So don't take this as this is what you've got to do now. We'll get some more up to date stuff as we continue.
Well, back then, when I did this, which I wouldn't really recommend on doing because it probably won't work as much, but what I did, it was when Google AdWords was really cool and they would let you sell products, which I don't know if you know this, Mark, which I think you will do, but you know it's a pain, Google AdWords, to get things approved and things. Back in 2006, it was they were really cool with everybody. You could sell your own products and things like that, and it was really easy. But it allowed me to get traffic. I paid for the traffic to go there, and then I could just dip straight to the sales page, and it was very easy. In fact, it was. I had a lot of I won't say a lot of luck, but I took what I learned and actually implemented it.
Okay, so you actually took action on what you're doing. So you went to Google AdWords, you set up a Google AdWords account, and you selected keywords related to computer clocking.
Overclocking,
and obviously done some keyword research, found a ton of keywords, and you drove traffic to your sales page.
Excellent.
So cool. And obviously, did you have a squeeze page first, or you just went direct to the offer, you ever want to buy, you read the page, you like it, you buy, you don't, see you later sort of thing?
Well, for the first year, I didn't bother building a list. All of what, because although I were in the business to build a business, I did not see the long-term value of building a list. Now, this is just a tip that you've probably heard a million times, but I'm going to say it, build a list, okay? Because you're going to make a ton more money doing that. And I learned that after a year of building a list, because having a list is basically you've got traffic on demand and it's targeted traffic. You know, if you want to send traffic anywhere, providing it's an offer that aligns well with your list, you can send off that traffic and make money on demand, literally.
Okay, cool. So after that, and after the big Google shakeup, what happened next for you?
What happened there? I think it was about 2008 or 9. I think it was 2010. It would either 9 or 10. Basically, I got a nice email from Google AdWords saying, "We don't want your business. We suspended your account. We're not going to say why." And you try and email these guys, and they were non-responsive to everything that we're sending, and that kind of threw everything into disarray. I had this product that 100% solely survived on Google AdWords traffic, which I later learned that surviving on one traffic source, you are going to be doomed.
So how did you feel when that happened? Like,
I would destroy
because you was living off that wage, wasn't you? You was living off what you was making from that, right?
Yeah, I would absolutely. I were building I were building a PC empire, you know, and a big marketing funnel, and it all relied on Google AdWords. The entire traffic were coming from, and I were doing really well out of it. I mean, what I was spending about, because I live in the UK, so it was pounds, so I'll try and put it in dollars. It was probably about $200 a week, and I was turning over about $1,500 off this one measly ebook, which I kept. When I created the products, then I created a back end. I created something called the Extreme Overclockers Kit, which was basically an upsell and then the downsells and all that. And it was basically an entire funnel that were turning over that money. But when I lost all that traffic, I didn't know what to do. And at the time, I was also getting traffic from YouTube. And a month later, they suspended that account. Now, I did nothing wrong with that. That was a totally white hat white hat account, as I would call it. It was totally legit. I made my own videos and things like that. We're all above board. But the thing is with Google, they can be cool with you 1 minute and then they can fall out with you. That's why you've got to always diversify your traffic.
Diversify, without a doubt, definitely. Yeah. Okay. So, that was the impact of that, because obviously I could just imagine that's just you're in your job, you're making really good money from your job and so on and so forth, and then they just come and just say, "Job's finished. That's it. You're not getting paid. no more. That's it. Finished. That must have really been devastating. Like, I just can't imagine how that would have felt. So how did you turn it around? Like, what did you feel like giving up? Where was you at after that?
Well, emotionally, I will not say mentally, emotionally, I there was one point when I broke down in tears because everything I was doing wasn't working. I knew I had a high converting product. Mm-hmm. I even put it on ClickBank then, you know, to try and get affiliates to promote it. But I couldn't get affiliates to promote it. And I just basically played around. But I'll tell you one thing, through that struggle, I got better. And I got through that bad time, it made me a better marketer. Mm-hmm. It made me better at email marketing. It made me better at getting traffic. It made me really fine-tune because before, when I was just a big, fat, lazy guy just living off that, I got lazy, basically. Mm-hmm. Because when you do well, you get lazy, and that's just the end of that, really. But it really honed my skills. It made me a better, sorry, I don't mean to repeat myself, but a better email marketer, better traffic. And I started learning free traffic methods. And like I said before, I started diversifying it. Mm-hmm. And but what I'm doing now, right up today, is that one traffic method I've got, if one dies, I've got dozens of other traffic streams just coming in, just hitting away all the way, you know, and they're all free traffic methods as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So through the frustration of what happened, it forced you to go out and find multiple streams of traffic to drive to your offer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. I understand that completely. So, obviously, I don't want you to give away all your secrets, but what were some of the things that you did to go and find these? How did you come across these different free strategies? Reading, just testing different things out. What were some of the things that you did?
It was part of my life at the time. I stayed in a lot. I just worked on it. I went to a popular internet marketing forum. If you don't know, it's called the Warrior Forum. I hang about there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to know that within a few months of internet marketing.
Definitely.
What I was looking for in forums was consistency. If there were constantly one method that consistently kept getting brought up and it kept getting saying, yeah, it's a really cool way, then I knew there was some truth in that, because there's a lot of here today, gone tomorrow traffic methods. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that they were only brought up like for a month and then they disappeared. I was looking for other ones. There were like one where I set up a new YouTube account, and I ended up setting up multiple YouTube accounts, because I'll give you a tip with YouTube, right? It don't matter how good you are, especially if you're in an evergreen massive market, say like internet marketing or weight loss or something like that, your competitors are always going to flag your videos, and it doesn't matter how legit or how white hat they are. So I set up multiple YouTube videos, then I started ranking them in Google, then I started doing a lot of forum marketing, I started doing a lot of social marketing, Twitter, and the kind of traffic sources that I was going for was free traffic sources. I didn't want to go for traffic sources that needed to be touched up. You know, like I say, forum marketing traffic is something that you've got to keep adding to every few days or every day. I wanted set and forget traffic. I was willing to do the work up front. I'd work a full month, providing I know that traffic could just come in for years to come. And that's what I was going for.
Wow, that sounds really cool, really cool. Okay, so obviously you set up all these different traffic streams, these different free traffic streams that you had, and you was driving this traffic into, I would assume, opt-in squeeze pages, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what would you say, because obviously, what would you say is the key elements of having a squeeze page or an opt-in page that gets high conversions in regards to lots of people opting in?
Well, to be honest, Mark, there's more than one feature that you know that's vital.
Okay.
The squeeze page ticks. One of them, I would say, one off the top of my head, is that it's keep it simple. Don't overclutter it. I've seen some squeeze pages where it's basically not a squeeze page, it's a website, and they've basically loaded it onto a WordPress, and there's too much stuff going on. What you want, basically, what's converting the best these days is a headline, an arrow, and an opt-in box. Just keep it really simple and don't overcrowd the page. You want a killer call to action, a bit of scarcity if you can do that kind of thing. And try and be real with it. Don't just make up a load of, say if you've got limited copies, actually be real with it kind of thing. And, and then you can do countdowns on your pages, which create scarcity and things like that, which really do help. But that'll help even more once you've got a relationship with your list. But I would recommend, if you're going to learn to drive traffic, always drive traffic to a squeeze page, okay? Don't send it to an offer.
Okay.
A paid offer.
So straight away send it to a squeeze page first of all, so you collect the lead first.
Every single time. If anybody tells us any different, I'm just going to disagree with them. Everybody's got their own style, but me personally, everything goes through a squeeze page because I'm getting more money, more bang per buck for me traffic.
Just for people that may not know why you would do that, and could you explain why you would send it to a squeeze page first of all, what the reason is behind that?
Well, what you can do, you can build affiliate websites, and what happens there, so you can send traffic there, and then they'll click on your affiliate offer, and if they buy, you've made a commission. Mm-hmm. But if you send them to a squeeze page, and then you can instantly, as soon as they've opted in, redirect them to a paid offer straight away, and you'll make a commission there. So as you can see, it's pretty even Stevens, but once they're on your list, you can build a relationship with them, and you can keep selling to them and make more money off per lead. You get more money off per lead. So that's why I always send traffic to the squeeze page, because I get to keep the traffic.
That makes a lot of sense, and that's exactly what I do as well. And just for that same reason, that I get to build a really strong relationship with the people on my list. I spend a lot of time in my follow up and the types of offers that I send to my list as well. So it really does help to obviously. They say that you need to have, I think it's over 7 points of contact with somebody for them to really understand you and for you to really build a relationship with them. So I can see why that's so important.
Yeah.
Also, like, obviously now you've got these people on your list. Like, what do you do? How do you grab their attention? Keep them interested in what you're doing, because they're obviously getting bombed. Like, for example, I've got an email box where I sign up to all of my different lists to and so on and so forth for my swipe files, and you'd be surprised. Like, I'm literally talking like 92,000 over 100,000 messages are in this box. It's been open for a few years, but like what I'm trying to say is that how do you grab people's attention? Like, firstly, what is the first thing that you need to do to grab someone's attention, and then how do you get them to
I'll tell you what I do, and to be honest, not a lot of people are doing what I'm doing. I make videos, right?
Okay.
And basically what I do, I learned a lot of this off Frank Kern, which he's like the Guru Nanak of the internet marketing community. Do you know what I mean?
Course, and I love Frank.
Yeah, everybody loves Frank, right? You even said it yourself, his personality. You view him as a friend, and I modelled a lot of my marketing off him. I went to see him up in San Diego, and I bought his like $2,000 course and things like that. And what he taught me was basically just be yourself. And what I'm like, I send out videos and I show them really cool stuff. I said, you want some traffic? This is what I do to get some free instant traffic to my blogs and websites and offers. And what I do, I try to just be cool with them, give them my personality. And people email me back all the time, say, hey, man, your videos are really cool. I'm learning a lot, things like that. And you can just do a nice little gentle plug to an affiliate offer or to your own, and you come across a really cool guy, and everybody loves you, and you're not being too pushy, and everybody's got really a lot of respect for you. Well, and you've got to remember, like what you say, Mark, I've got email accounts where they get hammered, hundreds of emails, people just trying to sell you stuff. But when you're sending out videos, people don't look at your headlines anymore. They don't look at my headlines, you know, my email subject lines. They look at my name. So when they see my name, it says James Scholes. They think, oh, I'll open that, because about 90-80% of the time, he's got a really cool video that'll teach me something cool that'll help me make money. And that's how I stand out. People just see my name and click it.
I can attest to that because, like, for example, people like Rich Chevron, Frank Kern, Dagan Smith, things like that. Like, when they send information out, I always know that even if they are sending something, what they're going to put, the way that they're going to sell that to me, they're going to drop some really good nuggets on me, some really good information on me. They're going to talk some sense about business that is going to help the way that I think about things, and really just help me in my day-to-day goings on, my day-to-day things that I do in relation to building my business. So that, and once they've done that, obviously once they've built that relationship with me, you can look at like my inbox and you'll see like there's loads of unopened emails, and then you'll see like who really interests me, where you can see that I've obviously, you know, it changes color as you open, as you've opened certain people.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the way that they market that. They've always got something interesting to say, or they've always got an angle that just intrigues me, and I just want to know what they're doing, what they're up to, and potentially if it is something that is in line with what my goals are and what I'm trying to achieve, then I'm going to buy. Like, and I don't have a problem buying high ticket products, small products, if it's in line with where I'm going. And I think that's key as well. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit about having a clear, because you said that you went into this wanting to build a business. So obviously you've got some clear goals and a clear plan. Like, maybe could you go into like the importance of having a clear plan, and
I'm not the most organized person in the world. I kind of have a massive whiteboard, and I have a to-do list, and I kind of just like tick things off as I go along, kind of thing. But
okay. It's still a system.
Yeah, it's just like I write down every day, and I'm looking at it right now, and I think what I need to do. Because if you write down what you need to do for the day, you're more likely you're going to do it, you know, because you can see it, and it'll bug you till you've crossed it off. You keep looking at it, and apparently, due to human psychology, people remember people are more prone to remember unfinished jobs than they are to remember finished jobs, and it kind of bugs people. So, and it'll be there, and it'll keep hovering over you. So, if you write it down, and you'll take great satisfaction in crossing it off once it's done. You think, I've done that, and it's kind of a fulfilling little buzz that you get once you've done it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. One of the things I wanted to ask you as well is that obviously you say that like one of the ways to keep attention is that you do videos, and I've done quite a few different interviews with a number of different people so far, and it seems to be a recurring theme that it's more than just sending out emails to people. It's about interacting with them with different forms of media, so like through video, through podcasts, through webinars, through teleseminars. It's about trying to interact with people on a deeper level, and it seems that that's the recurring theme that I'm getting from everybody that I'm speaking to, and it's sort of ingraining within me how important that is, and I just want everybody to sort of understand how important that is. But one of the things I noticed, and it has intrigued me, is that obviously we're both members of a website called Safe Swaps, and obviously I can see the size of your list and so on and so forth, but one thing is that it's your click average is so high.
Yeah. What you mean when I, because I don't really do ad swaps and I don't really buy solos. What I sell the occasional solos. What, like, going back to the I'm just going off your question here, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The free traffic that I generate now is basically I don't need to do ad swaps. Ad swaps and solo mailings are great to get you started, but I did not like the fact of that I didn't want to build an entire business because on them, because I didn't want to be, I wanted to diversify, but I didn't want to be hooked on them. I wanted, you know, because I came into this business as a, like a lifestyle plan kind of thing, and I didn't want to keep going back to the computer and buying more solos or setting up ad swaps and thinking, well, my entire, because there's a lot of people like that at Safe Swaps, and it's a really cool site, but there's a, but I'd say about 90% of the people there depend of their all their traffic through Safe Swaps, and I think that's quite a bad thing to do. I think you should use Safe Swaps as an additional extra. Don't depend on it. Now, going back to what you're saying, how do I get so many clicks from my list?
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to... Is it that you resell a lot, or...?
I do sell one or two solos. It, basically, what I do is just build up an absolute killer autoresponder sequence. I build up one for about 3 to 6 months, and all I do, I just jabber a load of rubbish, and I teach people, I just teach people how to make money online for free, and people just open your emails.
Is that all through video?
That's all through video, because you've got to remember, let me put it this way, right, if somebody emailed you and said, I'm going to kill you, right, how do you take that? You don't know,
Right. It's definitely going to impact me. I'm going to be like, what the heck?
Yeah, but if you saw that, if you heard an audio and said, I'm going to kill you, do you know what I mean? And you think, oh, is he joking or is he being serious? But when you see it on video, you can people get to see if you're joking, if you're having a laugh and kind of thing. And it's almost if, like, you're in their living room, you know, and you're building up such a stronger relationship through video. Video is the key, for me personally, for building up killer relationships, and you become their friend. They relate, you know, if you give out good content and you have a laugh making the videos, and you just be yourself. And I've got quite a little quirky personality. People get it, and they enjoy it, and I'm teaching them something cool in the process. People will open your emails like crazy. So if you're building an email list, what I'd recommend is to build an absolute killer autoresponder sequence, and people will open your emails. I promoted something the other month, and it was for a Clickbank product, and I sent it off, and I got up next morning, and this is through me putting that additional effort for creating like a 3 to 6, it's in between 3 to 6 months long autoresponder sequence, but I just woke up next morning and I made $1,500, you know.
Nice.
And I went out in the pub and I thought, I'm going to make about $500 off it or something. I got up next morning, red-eyed, in my underpants, and I looked at the screen and I thought, oh, well, I've had a good day and I've been out all last night. So, and that's through building up an absolute stellar relationship with your list.
And I think people need to sort of really, don't just listen to this and think, oh, that's a good idea. You really need to think about some sort of strategy and way to actually do this. So what, how do you come up with ideas? So I'm completely throwing out the questions that we had, because this is just flowing nicely. So
yeah, keep on coming, Mark. I love it. So I love talking about internet marketing.
Oh, great stuff, man. So how do you come up with the ideas on what to make your video on? Like, talk to me.
Yeah, well, basically, a lot of people come into the internet marketing and actually sell.
Sorry. One sec. Firstly. So I want to know that, how would you do that if you're brand new and you're actually not an expert? So
right,
obviously you've got some expertise now. So if you're brand new, because a lot of the people on my list are brand new, so I want to sort you to angle it for those people, please.
Right, if I were brand spanking new, this is what I would do, and this is what I did, right? Whatever you do, don't go into the make money online niche, right? You want to go and find, say, you want to go and find a smaller niche that you can dominate and become an authority figure in, and you want to find something that you're passionate about, like I did, about speeding up computers, because I was right into gaming, and I couldn't even type at the time, but I love gaming, and I could tweak my PC, you know, and it will, like, turn it into a Ferrari. I enjoyed writing the report, I enjoyed promoting it, I enjoyed advertising it, because it was something that I was absolutely passionate about, right?
Okay.
And that's what I would recommend anybody starting out. Don't go into the make money online niche, find something that you're good at, and it might be a smaller market.
Keywords there, people, passionate about.
You've got to be
passionate about.
You've got to. You know what, right? You've got to have a burning desire. If you can find your hobby, right? Find what your hobby is. Now, I will say not every hobby is profitable, but a lot of them surprisingly are. Okay, like I didn't think this. It was a really weird little subculture, but. And there were nobody, because if you check out a lot of Clickbank guys and they're telling you how to find profitable niches, they're saying they've got to be products on it, they've got to be people promoting on AdWords and things like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody were doing this. Nobody was selling overclocking stuff. So if I'd followed their advice, I would have thought, I would have thought, oh no, I better not, I'll be wasting my time writing this book. And I better go into another market. But I didn't get access to that kind of information when I was doing all this. So thankfully, I went into this a bit more blind, and I were making a load of money. So the moral of this, what I'm basically saying, is go into something what you're passionate about, because if you're passionate about something, you will put so much more effort into it, and it will show in your work, in your advertising, and you'll actually love what you do for a living. Okay, that's what I recommend. So don't go into make money, find something that you're passionate about, and it'll just, and your passion will reflect in your work.
Wow, yeah, definitely. And I can definitely attest to that, because it's a lot of what I did to come up as well. But this is so not about me. This is about what your information, and I'm really loving this. This is really, really good stuff. So in your journey, like, obviously you came across something, you put it together, and you've done really well. You obviously had a bad spot where Google shut you down, and through that you came out of that in a way where you was able to obviously still keep things going, and you actually became a better marketer, right?
Yeah.
What's the deal now? Like, what are you focusing on now?
What I'm working on right now, what I'm working on now is I'm now with the overclocking business and the PC stuff. Now, that just runs passively in the background. What I'm focusing on now
is...
That still makes money, not as much as what it did do before, but it still ticks over passively. Because I think with the viewpoint that I went in, that I wanted to have traffic where it was set and forget, if you remember me saying earlier.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and basically, that traffic is still ticking over. Like I say, it's not ticking over as strong as what it was before, but it's still a nice little traffic income stream that goes into one of my Clickbank accounts, you see. So, and it's nice to have that. But what I'm focusing on now is probably being more in the internet marketing niche. And the reason for that is because there's more money in it, okay?
Okay.
But I just want to say to everybody, when there's more money in it, I wouldn't recommend, like I was saying earlier, don't go into it, because if you know nothing about it, you've really got no right in teaching it, okay? And when I was creating when I went into the internet marketing niche, I knew a lot of things. A lot of people come into the Make Money Online niche knowing nothing, and they don't know how to do keyword research. I made a video on keyword research. They didn't know about forum marketing. I made a video on forum marketing, showing some neat little tricks and things like that. You know, a lot of people, that's why a lot of people have no idea what to create videos about, because they're in the wrong market. You get what I'm saying, Mark?
Very much so, yeah, definitely. Because if you're passionate about the market you're into, then you're already part of the community. You're already seeing what the pains are within that industry. So you're knowing what sort of problems to solve and issues to bring up, what sort of things tick off the whole marketplace, and you can bring out something on that and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I completely get where you're coming from there. When it comes to your emails, is there any sort of like set structure, like in regards to like short copy, long copy, or would you say it's just, you just go with the flow?
My take on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it varies. It depends what your mission briefing is, basically.
Okay.
If you're promoting a one-off product, and if it's a one-off promo, you really want to keep it as short as possible, just keep it a couple of lines, a sentence, a sentence or two, and then a link, and then some more email copy below it. Okay, I mean that's what I would normally do. But if you're running your own launch, then you can send emails out, providing it tells them what they want. You want to cut out all fluff. You want to put in personality, your own personality. I try to be funny and witty because that's what I naturally am. I'm kind of like an easygoing kind of guy, and I try to put that into my email copy. But you want to keep it as short as possible and just get to the point with everything. Because I've got one guy who I'm mentoring at the moment, and Jesus Christ, right, I love him to pieces, right? And he's written a newsletter, and it's like a big wall of text. Nobody's going to read that, especially in the big markets like the Make Money Online, the weight loss and things like that. You know, like with what you were saying, people are getting bombarded every day with hundreds of marketing emails. Do you think anybody's got time to read a big block of text?
Okay. I just want to sort of play devil's advocate here, just because I see what you mean. I definitely can see that, like, because I've done a lot of testing, and I can see that short copy obviously gets you a large number of clicks and so on and so forth. But I've also seen that where, like, for example, I've got a follow-up sequence where the messages are quite long, but it's like the story or the journey of my life in regards to what the things that I did and how it relates to the people that are on my list and how they can learn from my experiences in regards to building their business. And some of the emails are quite long. And one thing I have noticed, though, is that what people do is that they might come onto it like in day 7 or day 8 and so on and so forth. And then they go back and they open up from day 1 and read through all of it because the story is so in-depth. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously, I see what you're saying. It's always good to keep it short and sweet. But then what about the relationship building side of things?
That's all done in the video for me.
Oh, so you're saying keep it short in the email and then you do the story and that through video. I think that might actually be better if I switch to that. Like, I actually give a short sort of overview and then a link and then actually do the full story in a video.
You can do both, but I don't myself. I guess you can tell it both. Because you've got to remember, not everybody. People learn different ways.
Very true.
Some people are readers. Some people are watchers. I'm just making up names here, right? But you get what I mean. Some people are like you. Some people like reading. Some people like watching video. Some people like listening to audio. I tend to attract the the watchers, the people who like video, because that's my style of marketing. Mm-hmm. So that sits well. But don't get me wrong. There's people out there. I mean, the best way to make sure that it is to literally cover for every market, so you can write down your story and also link to the to the video where you can tell it
as
well.
It's like a hybrid type of method.
Yeah. So you're covering everybody, so everybody's going to get it one way or other.
Very true. Okay, so this is something that I want to sort of just go over with you, because I think it's important for people to understand this as well. What through your journey, what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes and errors that you've made while building your online business? And what, like, in regards to, like, the people that are listening, some advice to make sure that they don't go for the same thing?
Well, I think the biggest mistake I've ever made, which I've already talked about, is living off one traffic.
Okay.
I think that's a massive one. There's a lot of people out there who make a ton of money off affiliates, kind of thing and all that. They have a product and they just solely rely off affiliates. But I'm not being funny. Affiliates are fickle people. They will go with you until something better comes along. Yeah, I've had products where I've had loads of affiliates promote it, and then they've been there for like a month or two or something like that, or even shorter than that, and then they've just jumped on the bandwagon to the next hot product, and that's just the way they operate. So a big thing is never rely on one traffic source. Always go out there and get more traffic to your website. Another thing that I should have started building my list sooner. You've got to build a list. If you want to be successful, a lot of people are going to go, well, I don't want to build a list. But it's like the ultimate safety net in your business. If anything goes wrong, you'll always have your list and you can always rely on them. Providing you look after them and you give them content and you give them a good and you've got a good relationship with them, you can always turn to them. And those guys on your list will help you out.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good stuff there. Some really good information there. So, in regards to like the offers that you send out to your list and like the free content that you send out and stuff like that, is there like a have you got a strategy behind that, or is this like how, basically how often do you send offers to your list, and do you mix it up like with sending offers with no obligation and valuable content? Like, obviously I know you do, but I'm saying, is there some sort of like, would you think to yourself, okay, I want to send three bits of free information, then I send an offer, then four more bits of free information, then I send an offer? It's just as and when you feel.
Well, like I was saying earlier, the autoresponder takes care of the relationship building, okay. and it takes care of the free content side. And I tend to mail a paid offer every other day. So they're probably getting an email off me. This is what I'm constantly changing and evolving my email marketing. So I'm just saying what worked really well today might not work, you know, a year down the line as well. But what's currently working for me is that, and emailing a paid offer or a free offer, but you've got to opt in for it every other day. And that's currently working. Like I was saying, though, it's the autoresponder that does all the relationship building and sharing the free content, and that is probably the key to my success for getting really high open rates. Because you've got to remember, people are going to be going, they're going to see your name and think, oh, he sends out loads of cool stuff and he's a really great guy in his videos kind of thing. So an email spammer or a churner and burner, what they do is they rely on their email subject lines to get opened. I rely on my name to get opened. Okay, you see where I'm going with that? People see my name and think, oh, it's James Scholes, I'll open that up, because he might have say, and there's a good chance that there's going to be a video in there teaching them some really cool stuff kind of thing. but the churner and burners out there, they rely on their subject line. If they've got a really good subject line, an offer that really aligns with that particular prospect and thing, or like, say, if you need a traffic, or you want to learn SEO, and then the churner and burner says how to do SEO, get ranked in 1 minute for Google, they'll probably open it, okay? Because it's so well aligned with what they want, they'll open it. Otherwise, they won't open your email because they haven't really got a good relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Do you do things like do you segment your list into different groups based on like their actions? And if so, why?
A lot of people out there have a gazillion lists, and I don't like doing that. I separate my list from my prospects to my buyers. So if somebody buys one of my own products, mm-hmm. I move them, and then they just get free content, and then I don't send them as many paid promos.
Mm-hmm.
They get like certain paid promo offers, which is once a blue moon from me, literally. And these are like really, really good products that are fully endorsed and things like that. The prospects list, I tend to send them more, you know, like SafeSwap stuff,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. But going back to what I was saying, a lot of people have a lot of lists, but I don't like doing it. I'm very laser targeted with my marketing.
So
when people opt in, I know exactly what they want. I don't want to be operating in 50 micro niches within the make money online niche market, if you know what I mean. Because, I mean, under the...
Too much hard work, right?
It's too much hard work. It's like you've got, like, SEO stuff. You've got even backlinking. That's considered different. Then you've got affiliate marketing. Then you've got product creation stuff and all that.
So outsourcing. Versions.
conversion.
Subtopics off of internet marketing.
You've got like split testing nuts out there, and they and they are laser targeted lists, but I'd rather just build one big laser targeted list. And so I've become so well at marketing with that one list rather than spread myself too thin, because I'd rather be a master of one than a jack of all trades.
Okay. So somebody coming into it right now, like obviously you said, don't just go into like internet marketing, like look for something that you're passionate about and so on and so forth. But what would be like some advice you'd give to somebody that who wants to start building a list in something that they're passionate about? Like, how would they go about that? getting some really targeted people onto their list? How would they go about getting some of that traffic? Just a few
To get some, right, a good place to start to get some free traffic, right, this is what I would do if I were a complete newbie and if I were recommending some free traffic. What I would do some forum marketing, right, and I would go into the forums and just don't, because there's a SIG, you know, signature box.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is basically put your link in there and have a call to action. So, call to action, if you can have an image in there.
We just lost a bit of what you just said there. So you got up to the bit where you said you have a SIG box, yeah. And what you want to do is put a call to action in there, and then I'll ask you.
Sorry about that. Well,
sorry?
What you want to do is participate in the forums. You want to find the biggest, most trafficked forum in your market, and you can do that really easily using alexa.com. I won't go into how to do it, but if you go to Alexa, and then what you want to do is type in your market, so say if it's underwater basket weaving or something like that, and then type in forum. So then so the keyword is underwater basket weaving forums, right? And then what you want to do is take the URLs and put it into alexa.com, and that will tell you which forum gets the most traffic. Because what you'll find, what I found in all the different markets and niches I've operated in, you'll find that there's one forum that gets the lion's share of all the traffic. I've even done it, say, with like the internet marketing, and the Warrior forum gets like 90% more traffic than all the other internet marketing forums out there. Mm-hmm. So why bother wasting your time on low traffic forums? So what you want to do is find the most trafficked forum out there and then start participating. Now the trick with forum marketing is this, and this is one of the reasons why you should go into a market or a niche that you're really passionate about, because the more you put in, the more you get out. And so if you start posts where you're really helpful, people are going to see you or perceive you as an authority figure, and once they've read your helpful post, they're going to check out your SIG and think, oh, he knows what he's on about, and they'll click your SIG, and it all starts from there. And you're not going to get a gazillion traffic to your website straight away, but it's a great way to start getting plenty of hits to your website and squeeze pages today.
Excellent. That's really some really good information. Your thoughts on guest posts and things like that?
Yeah. What do you mean guest posts? Do you mean where you do blogging kind of thing?
Yeah, or where you'd write an article and have that published on somebody else's blog. What are your thoughts on that? Have you tried that? Is that something you've gone into at all?
You know what? I've never tried that, and it's something that I keep meaning to do, but I just haven't got round to doing it, to be honest.
Okay, so we'll leave that one then. That's no worries. And also, would you say that you're someone that's always learning and always getting new information? And if so, what books, training courses, or mentors have you found that have been really helpful in your journey?
My biggest one I would always recommend is Frank Kern. Frank Kern, he teaches a lot in his courses, but what I got from him is relationship marketing.
Okay.
And to be honest, you can learn a lot from him. Not just by what he teaches in his free stuff, but how he teaches the free stuff.
Okay.
The course is just going to the deep psychological triggers and the NLP tricks and things like that, and it teaches you how he does it, and you think, that's how he does it. But Frank Kern is probably my number one guy who's influenced me the most out of all the mentors and things like that.
Excellent. And that's the same for like his training courses and stuff like that as well.
To be honest, I haven't bought a lot of training courses lately. I don't really buy a lot. What I do now, I'm at a point in my business where the only things I spend money on now is if I need a bit of outsourcing. Products wise, I probably buy plugins and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I need to learn a new traffic method, mm-hmm. I'll probably go to the Warrior Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And then just look for like something, you know, like for a new traffic product and things like that. The trick is with the Warrior Forum, with the WSOs, which stands for Warrior Special Offers.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to do, right? You want there's a bit of scamming going on, to be honest, but the first lot of comments that go off there, a lot of their buddies are commenting on there. What you want to do is start reading from page 2 of the comments, because that's when the real comments start coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But no, but I'm just at that point where I'm like buying micro courses on a very precise, like I said, it's generally a lot of it now is traffic.
Okay, cool. And what would you say, like, obviously you said you've had JV partners and things like that, like, what would be your number one tip in regards to that? So once somebody's got a product, they put it together and they're trying to get some JV partners, how would they go about that?
Oh my God! It's one of these things that are really hard to do, but I found my own way of doing it. I think the bad way of doing it is approaching a complete stranger out of the blue and basically e-begging them, as I call in it. I just say, will you please promote my product? And I look at the poor guy and I think, you know, there were one guy on SafeSwaps, and he just basically, hi, my name's Bibble Bobble, and basically, please don't report me. I'm looking for people to promote my product. Just don't report me. And I thought, I didn't know if to feel sad for him or what. But that is a really bad way of approaching people out of the blue, saying, e-begging them and just say, can you promote me stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. The way I do it, right, is basically I take on my list. I basically promote my list. Because every time I send content out to my list, what I do, I have a little link at the bottom of the video or bottom of the page of the video that they're watching, and it's basically saying, how would you like to earn 200% commissions instantly to your PayPal account? Just click here to find out how. So I basically promote, I basically get my own list to promote my own stuff, okay? That's what I do. So, and that goes with my autoresponder business model once again. I send out pages of, you know, quality content, and it's just a link, and loads of people click on it thinking, well, I need to make money online. This looks like a really good offer, and then they start promoting my stuff. So, and that's it. And a lot of them, they go on SafeSwaps to promote it, or they have like blogs and they send traffic to it and things like that. I'm not a master JV, but that's what I do, and I like doing it that way because I'm not pestering anybody. I get hundreds of affiliate hits now to my website each and every day, and it kind of perpetuates. The more people I send through my marketing funnel, the more people I recruit to promote my affiliate offers. That's what I do anyway.
Wow, that's really sort of like I don't even know the words to use for that, but it's like you're not up in people's face. It's very sort of subtle.
Yeah, it's a very cool way. And it's like, hey, do you want to repeat? It's not even asking. It's just sat there at the bottom of every page, and there's quality content. And at the bottom, it's just saying, look, 200% commissions instantly sent to your PayPal account. If you want to do it, just click here. And I've never once emailed my affiliates, never once, you know. So it's a really cool way. I didn't want to build a business where I were constantly trying to recruit affiliates to promote my next my next products, because I don't think people came into internet marketing, I certainly didn't, to make money that way. We all wanted to basically set up a business online that runs itself, and I don't think people recruiting affiliates all the time for their next big launch is that kind of business model. You're constantly working to get more people to promote your stuff all the time. I have a mindset where I always say, my business model is all about, if I can afford to go to Fiji tomorrow for 6 months, then I've achieved what I wanted. And I'm currently there. I don't want to be on the internet every other day, you know, talking to affiliates and trying to get them into the mood for promoting my stuff. I'd rather do it the method that I'm doing it.
No, that's outstanding. That's really good. That's really good. And I really like what you're putting forward. It's very real. It's really in tune with the lifestyle aspect of internet marketing, and not necessarily working your ass off all the time. Like, James, I'm so grateful that you came on today. Like, I know that you don't normally do interviews with people, so I definitely feel privileged, and everybody on the call should just feel privileged that you've got someone that's just like any other guy, just a standard guy, he doesn't class himself as a guru or anything like that, and literally he does this day in, day out. He's in the trenches, and he knows what he's talking about. Like, is there any, like, if any of the people on my list want to get to know a bit more about you and what you're doing and things like that, could you give them some places that they can get in touch with you or follow what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to check out my blog, it's james-skulls.com, and you can check out all my stuff there. I post all my how-to videos there. You can even spy on my style of marketing if you want, and just see how I operate, and that's it. But it's a really cool blog, and I do try to actually give a ton of content and teach you guys as much as I can while, you know, without pitching to you. So just check out my blog. Also,
let me just make sure that everybody gets that. Well, I'm going to put a link there so you can just click through anyway. But it's skulls.com. All right, guys.
Yeah, that's it. If you're a complete beginner and you're after a system where you can make money straight away, kind of thing, and you don't, and you've got no money, you know, to implement, and you want like a 100% free method to implement, then you can check out a free system that I'm currently giving away, and it's called RapidCashSystem.net. Okay, that's really cool system, and it's a system that I recommend to all people who are just new and starting out, want to make some money without spending any money, if you know what I mean.
Okay, cool. So that's RapidCashSystem.com.
.net,
sorry. So that's RapidCashSystem.net, people. And
I would have called it something else, but because after I called it that, I realised there's about a gazillion websites called something similar to that. So just make sure to put a link below for that
one. I will do, yeah, definitely. No worries. So you guys can just click straight through and check that out. James, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure. And guys, there's gonna be like if you found this information to be of use to you, like there'll be some share buttons underneath the video or the audio. Share with your friends if you find it to be useful. Comment below. Get involved in it. Also, more importantly than all of that sharing and getting involved is anything that you thought that you can actually take action on, actually do something with it and implement. Take action on the information, because there's no point in having a load of good information and not doing anything with it. Okay, so that's it from us today. This is Mark Sams from the Renegade Affiliate Team and the Startups Today team. And I just want to say thank you again to James Skull for coming on. Take care, people.